Well, we are back in more ways than one. It's going to be nothing but smiles. Drink up. Cheers to Coach and Sam.
Mario
is back.
Fantastic. More ways than one. It's going to be nothing but smiles.
Let's go, man.
Drink up.
Something was playing. Someone had the YouTube. All good.
I had it in the back.
All good, man. Oh, good, man. Cheers to Christian. Cheers to Mario, my favorite smartass in the world. For those of you who don't know, Mario is well connected to the Napoli community. They went down 2-1 to the team that he's rocking today, the Spartak Moscow. Bro, how the hell did you even come up with this top? Where did you fish it from? Because when you took that photo this morning, I'm like, that's bullshit.
I got it from Classic Football Shirts. They had a sale and they had this for like, I don't know, 15 pounds or some shit. And I was like, yo, that's fire. I need a long sleeve. I need red in my life because some of these indoor teams I play on, they need to play with red jerseys for some odd reason. I have no red shirts. I was like, why not?
All good. DC United, how are they going this season then?
We just got eliminated from playoff contention, but my boy Paredes is a shit. Haters going to hate. Fun. I said it on this channel. You remember that, Mario? I said that interest to sign him. Man, City's after him. Arsenal's after him. PSV is after him.
Bro, we got a lot to talk about, and I can't wait. Let's just give a shout-out to the 11 people that are here so far. Nick Knox is here on the USA East Coast, still hyped up and all. Bring on the round of 16. Mario keeps talking. Benjamin goes, bro, we're back. I'm glad Ben still sticks with every single stream. Cheers to Mo, and happy birthday to our friend Mo. I really hope you're enjoying your day, my man. And Jono from Sydney, always a pleasure. That jersey, oof. This is the youth one that came out, I think, in 2017, John. Because I don't know about you guys, a lot of the jerseys in the A-League, like everywhere else in the world, they get absolutely ruined with sponsors, man. And the team that I support in the A-League, like they're, our sponsor, bro. Like we literally got a plane across our chest, man. There's a whole airplane across there half the time.
Let me see it.
Now I got the youth one without the sponsor because like my reaction was yours when you saw it. It was just like clean, super clean. Speaking of clean passage into the round of 16 without having to play the last game against Real Madrid. Legitimately what the doctor ordered. We can relax. Like, I don't think we will relax. I think we'll go hell for leather and try and get that top spot. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's just go to the reaction from my brothers, Christian, bro. Never in doubt. One of those games, like I was happy to sleep through the first half an hour for work, wake up. I read the chat, bro. The Dzeko slander was real. It was real. But like the slander, every time the slander has come in a certain player's direction this season, they're quick to prove the fans wrong. I'll let you just have your say completely, Christian, because I wasn't worried. I was on that couch going, it's coming.
It was real, but it was justified. Like, yo, my man missed some sitters. And then he made some like real, real poor decisions. And it is what it is. I mean, he's a striker, you know, but I thought him and Lautaro played well the second half. I didn't think Toto was really bad at all in the first half at all. He had very good movement, very good link-up playing with Dzeko, but the thing was Dzeko couldn't finish, and he needs to finish.
He was like this at Roma. I remember the Roma fans' biggest critique of him was like, he's got everything. The guy can dance like a midfielder when he wants to, but he might just need six chances a game to get you a goal.
Yeah, and you know what? He ended up bearing the first and then the second. To me, the man of the match, man, Perisic, amazing. My boy has been stellar. And you know I've been talking about him for the longest. And then everybody kept saying DeMarco was coming to bench this man. And I was like, yeah, okay, good luck.
No shot.
I was like, you're not touching my boy Perisic, you know. I know Anthony has a lot of hope for DeMarco still, but, man, yeah, if it's me, he's proven why he was loaned out to Verona. You know, honestly, he hasn't shown anything yet, but
fair call. It's just that I think we've seen later bloomers, and I think the dude's in it for the long run and doesn't mind being tactically disciplined and benched. But, you know, I could be wrong. Happy to be wrong if we have someone better.
But you know what, though? The thing is, you said late bloomer. He's already 25, 26. Like, how late? You know what I mean? Like, how late are we going to wait?
Yeah, fair enough, man. Fair call. I'm still ready to give him a couple of seasons, maybe next season, to see if he can integrate himself into some sort of form. Do you think he's okay to stay as a rotator, as a bench player, if he's okay with that?
Yeah. No.
He's not the man to come into the starting 11.
Exactly. That's where I'm at. He's a good bench player. That's exactly what you get. You know, he was a Verona player that he was out on loan. Like, he's just, I don't consider him a starter. You know what I mean? That's just me. I don't consider him a starter. I can't speak for Mario, but I do not consider him a starter. If it's up to me, I'm signing Perisic another year, unless it's like guaranteed that we get Kostic. But even then, I'm kind of like, yo, what we got with Perisic right now is prime Perisic from when he first came to us. Like, the dude's just been amazing.
Yeah, I was going to dedicate another section of this podcast to Perisic, but I feel like we might as well just keep the conversation flowing with no structure and engage as many fans as possible. Perisic, for me, man of the match today, man of the match in his last three performances. Mario, I know how much you'll advocate for him as well, but I also want to keep giving him the respect and the freedom to walk away. This dude owes us nothing. And I said it in a chat today. I'm like, we need to be in a position where the contract's there in the table for Ivan, but we expect him to walk away, because I think part of him, and he's really showed us this, Mario Christian, that he loves this club. He loves Inter. I guarantee you when he retires, he will say this was the club for him. And that was really due to his last season under Conte and coming through now. And also, when you put grind and effort into things over the years like he did to Spalletti, you want to see a good finished product at the end of the day. I think another big reason why he's playing out of his skin at the moment is I think he even surprised himself a little bit at the start of the season with how quick he was to play himself into form. Maybe not completely surprised himself, but I think he realized the demographics of where he was in the contract. He's like, I can still get one. I can still go to England and get a top contract. Someone from the Bundesliga might put me on another top contract. This guy knows well and truly, as far as desirable free agents go, put him in the top three at the end of the season. Clubs like Madrid, Barca, Bayern will come back knocking for this guy again, Mario.
Perisic has been freaking great this season. And I've been saying it for 3 or 4 years now where he needs to be in a system where he's allowed freedom. How many times have I said this? Inzaghi finally seems to have given the freedom to do whatever he wants on offense, which he didn't have under Spalletti because his job was to cross to Icardi no matter what the situation was. He could be one-on-one with the goalie. He's got to cross the ball to Icardi. Then he played under Conte, who was very strict and had him doing specific things. Never cut inside on his right foot. But under Inzaghi, he's opened up. He's become more of a two-way player than we've wanted to. So, yeah, you could say he's grown into that expected role. But I think it comes more with the coach's trust in him to unleash whatever skill he has. I mean, look at what he does on the ball. He plays like he doesn't care what happens. And he's a fantastic player. He's got so much to offer this team offensively and defensively. He's the hardest working two-way left wing back, left midfielder, left winger, whatever you want to call him, in Italy at the very least. He works his ass off. He's like a Barella, but on the left side, let's say. You know, and when you have two players like that, it's a game changer because he's just so important. But it's a shame because, like you were saying before, he doesn't owe the club anything. And I say it's a shame because we don't appreciate him. We as the fans in general, because, you know, like,
you think we're a little too late to start showing all this Perisic appreciation.
Yeah, like how are you going to go 4 years calling him Perisic, you know, all these names and saying he should never be signed and he's old and he's washed up when he's still got it and he's always shown potential to be a top player. He went to Bayern in the middle of the whole saga with him being out of form. And he won a Champions League, and he was actually important to the team. It wasn't like he was just riding the bench the whole time. He scored goals. He got assists. He was in the starting lineup pretty much. So it's not like we're getting just like a one-hit wonder. He's a good freaking player. We signed him based off the fact that he torched us when he played for Wolfsburg and in the Europa League. He put us to sleep. And then we said, oh, we need this guy, so we paid for him. And then what do? We basically said, you know what, I don't like how you play. You're gonna play this way, and you're gonna do that if you want to play at the very least. Otherwise, you know, we'll go sign somebody else for 5 million euros to shit the bed. But you know, whatever. So yeah, he's earned that starting line, that starting left back spot, left wing, whatever you want to call it. And DiMarco should not even be in the conversation unless he gets hurt, because Perisic is too important.
Fair enough. And thank you to the 23 people that are joining us live for a podcast. We don't usually get those sort of numbers for these long videos, which is very, very nice. Let's go over to some of the comments. King Darian says, put some respect on Limone's name. Rivers told us to chill out after the Shakhtar game. You're looking at the two most chill dudes I've ever brought on this channel, man. They're the great equalizers, these two. Lukaku, who Dzeko already scores 10 goals this season, but Lukaku only scored 4. I'm not going to bring it up yet because I feel like, you know, Christian and I have got a little bit to say, but I'm going to wait a little bit. You know, I don't want to slander the dude too much. He did his thing for our city, but, you know, he's sitting there really rethinking some of those decisions at the moment. We will put it that way and we'll elaborate a little bit later on. Antonio says, Forza Inter, we're going to win the Champions League. Calm down with that. But, you know, we've reaped a few benefits, boys. And that's where we'll pause on the comments and talk about something else. Muller, in a very financially stricken economic football world, this is good. So far, we have earned 20 million from participating in this Champions League with our victories. This qualification gives you a 9 million bonus in the next round. And in this economy, that 9 million is almost an upfront loan with an obligation to buy in the January market. This really is good for our image. It's really good for our economical gain. Christian.
Can I say one thing before we move on to that comment? One thing about what Mario was saying is about the Inter fan base being very disrespectful to Perisic. He's not the only one. You know, you hear about D'Ambrosio. People call him D'Ambrosio.
Ranocchia played a fucking good game today.
Ranocchia's been amazing.
I've got that written down to talk about that.
I just wanted to put it out there that a lot of these fans are very unappreciative of what these guys have done for us. And you guys idle some of these players that didn't do anything and caused a lot of harm. People calling for Icardi to come back. You know, like, the disrespect is there. You disrespect the players that you shouldn't. The D'Ambrosios, the Ranocchias, the Perisic, guys, Brozovic, the guys that were loyal to this club. You know, it's just something y'all need to really think about. You can't sit there and keep disrespecting, and then expect people to, like, respect your opinions. You know, as an Interista, I see a player like D'Ambrosio that goes out there and works hard for the club, same as Perisic and Ranocchia, and even Handanovic. Yeah, we put slander on his name, but we don't disrespect him and call him handle shit or anything like that, you know. It's just, it's ridiculous. See, all acting like little two-year-olds. Put some respect on these guys' names.
For real. Yeah, cool, man. Let's talk a little bit about, yes, Mario.
Before we, I forgot to talk about Dzeko, because like we said before, he needs 6 chances to score 1, right? The thing that I like about that is he's creating these chances. Him and Lautaro are creating chances left and right. As much as I talk shit about Lautaro all the freaking time, but then he goes right back and scores, so I can't even say nothing. But
dude, remember, like, over a year ago, we had a joke on air where we were like, Lautaro does everything but put the ball in the back of the net as a striker. Like, if this guy could finish at the level that we want him to, he's almost a complete package.
He really is. And then you pair him with Dzeko, who literally does everything on top of that as well. So you have 2 almost complete forwards. Almost.
In his defense, he has gone so unlucky to hit the post so much.
How many times does he hit the post, man?
He luck. It, you know, it's not like the wind blows the ball. It's not like
what did you think of his disallowed goal today because of the shove? Like, Mo thinks it's the right call. I watched the replay, I'm like, he's got his hands, but I hate these super slow-mos, man. Sports should be measured in real time, like we said. It's a contact sport.
Mo slanders Lautaro even when Lautaro has a good game. I call a spade a spade. Mo just flat out hates Toto. Yo,
this man hates him, bro.
Nah, he wanted to replace him with that Bama from over there at Liverpool. Don't give me that. You hate the man.
Man, he played his play off the ball this season, and his ability to set up, it's really, really good, man. I'm very, very happy.
I've been saying that for years. A player that plays well off the ball and makes good movements and all that, that's what you want. You don't want these guys to just be standing over there for 89 minutes and then just do a random tap in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's, oh my God, the most amazing thing in the world. Oh,
sounds familiar.
Is the panel happy with Inzaghi? Now, this is a good one to sidetrack and discuss. I'm going to bring your substitutions up on the board for us to discuss that. Man, it's not easy to adjust. It's not easy. The best job that anybody wants in football is to take over a club that is suffering beyond the club's own expectations, because you can't go any, you can't do any better but take them up from there. It's very hard to take over a Scudetto winning side. Very, very hard. But the way that Inzaghi has oiled this team in 13 domestic match days and in the group stage of the UCL, I was prepared for worse than this. I really, really was. And I got to give full credit to the manager and the way that he celebrated that. The first goal that Dzeko scored today, it was very, very nice to see. Remember, he took Lazio through to the round of 16 last year in a very, very tough group with Dortmund there by their side. The substitutions today, I thought he might have made them a little bit quicker. I think he was going to make them quicker, but then that goal from Dzeko sort of made him just kind of relax a little bit more. Correa in for Lautaro on 68. Vidal in for Barella, 78, along with Danilo for Damian. Di Marco and Sensi got some minutes as well. Overall, Inzaghi's performance today and those substitutions. We'll start with you, Mario.
I mean, they're not bad. You gotta use those guys. Like, you got to throw in the Vidals. You got to throw in D'Ambrosio. These guys had to get minutes. Sensi, I thought he was going to get hurt and we were going to play down a man and lose the game. Di Marco, I mean, sub, whatever, fine. But usually he gets some hit or miss. They've been mostly good. I've been happy with Inzaghi. Like I said, it's not easy. And I think he's not only taken the team and fixed it, like, he's just taken the team and he kept it going. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he took Conte's success and it's not slowing down. He's doing better statistically, points-wise in the league, if that's still a thing. And he got us through the next round, so we're already improving on the grand scale of things. So I have no problems with Inzaghi. I think he's rotating the team pretty well. He's finding a way to get the best out of his players. Dzeko, 35 years old, looks phenomenal. Perisic, 32 years old, phenomenal. Brozovic running show left and right. He's having a solid year as he usually is. Barella, I don't know what's the deal with him. If it's the fixture congestion, if he's got a new role, but he's not like that same, like perfect player that we saw under Conte. If that makes sense. I think he's taking a little bit of a step back, but I think it's the role of the team that has to do for it. And it's not like he's playing bad or regressing. It's just
he's spending a lot more time on the right-hand side in general than he was under Conte. In Conte, he started as the right-handed center midfielder, but he would always drift in and also play like inverted up top to the left sometimes. But he's really hugging that right byline. And, you know, his crossing game from the right is quite good. And his ability to go to the byline is quite good to set up players, but I agree, man. I agree.
Yeah, and then he's also getting them. He's figuring out slowly how Çalhanoğlu. He's been very good the past couple of weeks in the Napoli game, and today he was very good. So, you know, the defense, obviously, you got Ranocchia back there who fills in, and it's like Divine never left. So I think he's doing a very good job with the squad. He's got an okay in my book.
Sweet. Christian, man, sidetracking to this question. Do you think Inzaghi won the game tactically before we scored? Akil says we stomped and shut Shakhtar down with excellent pressing, made them commit so many mistakes and brought our confidence up. Overall, you think Inzaghi had another decent game today and you happy with him so far, Christian? Because I really don't think he deserves any criticism at the moment.
So my thing is this. Today was kind of going to this week alone was actually going to dictate Inzaghi's season. Mm-hmm. I told people it was make or break for Inzaghi. He was literally brought here to take us out of the group stage. Mm-hmm. People fail to realize that Inzaghi's ball is more tuned to what is actually being played in Europe. Conte ball wasn't. That's why Conte struggles to get out of the group stage. But Inzaghi made it with a game to go. Like, let's be real. We haven't been at the group stage in 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years. Yeah, 10 and years. We made it with a game to go. I love it.
And look at the coaches in that time. It's not like we had bad coaches in that time. Mm. We had some pretty good coaches. I just think that Inzaghi is going to be judged more towards the end of the year if we get the Scudetto or not, if we get the second star. I mean, he literally was handed a Scudetto winning team, and I actually think it's improved on from last year. You can make your assertions and say that there's certain positions we didn't get better at. The only one I would say we regressed on was on the right wing, but Darmian isn't a bad right
back. He's been excellent this year.
He has been fantastic, been excellent, man.
So you can't really say, I mean, Hakimi's a world-class player. That's not taking anything away from Darmian, but outside of that, I think we improved with Dzeko over Lukaku just in the terms that Dzeko is a better suited player for Inzaghi's system. Now, who's to say that Lukaku would have replicated what he did last year with Conte? And me and Mario had this conversation several times, talking about that it was better to get rid of Lukaku right then and there while the money was still available, because look at him right now, 4 goals so far. Now say he has 4 goals for Inter, what are we saying? We're all probably looking at each other like, damn, we should have cashed in on him when we could have.
Yeah.
So, 100%. I mean, he was a complete system player. Like, he was tuned in for Conte's game. He came, he did everything that was needed for during Conte's time. Now that Conte's left, there's no point in having him anymore. And Zaghi, he's transformed this team from a counter-attacking team to a more balanced, possessive game and attacking.
And
the thing is that I think the best thing is that he's finally starting to figure out the defense. And all credit given to the guy, bro. Like, yeah, we started out slow. You know, we were a little sloppy in the back, but now it's starting to get better. Yeah, except for a blunder here and there, it's starting to get better. Mario, remember we were talking about this watching the game, how Ranocchia and Bastoni stopped that quick counter by Fernando. Mm-hmm. You know, this man was in. Rano was smart enough not to foul him. He was smart enough not to foul him, and Bastoni had the angle covered.
He didn't foul him, and the most important thing was he was able to run with him and slow him down by chopping at his arm repeatedly, if you saw that. And he fell at the end, but, I mean,
class defending.
He's 6'5" with freaking 35 years old.
Yeah, man. I think what you're saying leads into this comment as well, is Barella regressing because the opponents are paying more attention to him now as opposed to last season? I don't think so. And I think Akil's on the ball here a little bit more as well. He goes, you are prone to making more mistakes when you are on the ball, but Adelaide's handling the ball a lot more than he was under Conte. It's all good. It'll only make him a better player.
You got to remember something. Barella's had more assists this season than he did last season, all of last season. Barella's finally being able to express himself more as a player. So I wouldn't say he's regressed. In my opinion, he's actually gotten a lot better.
He's forging a new identity as well. He's just adding to his repertoire, man, which is already impressive.
Barrera is like the only player in the midfield that can play, besides Vidal, the only player in the midfield that can play in any spot and be successful.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about Ranocchia's performance. You know, obviously he's not going to come in as a starter anytime soon if De Vrij is fit. But what he did do... what he did do, Christian and Mario, is remind the fans to not think it's the end of the world if Stefan De Vrij has to move on at the end of this season. We are still looking to raise a certain amount of funds, I think. If we do have to sell off one player, could it be him? I'm still a big fan. I don't want to see him go. I mean, we're talking about the guy that benched De Ligt in the national team to the point where Van Gaal just looked right in the cameras and went, De Vrij starts because he's the best centre-back for Holland and has been for the last few years. Like, just point-blank said it while De Ligt and Van Dijk are in the next room. And it is what it is. I hope that... He was quite injury-prone when he was playing for Lazio. I was worried. He came to Inter. The guy was a rock, man. He barely missed a performance in the last 3 years, bro. So what are your thoughts on it, Christian?
I'm personally, you know me, I've been pro on Nokia for years. You remember Mario, us at the stadium? Rano mi capitano, il capitano vero. You know, I've been a Nokia fan. I got his jersey in my closet. You know, I'm not going to sit there and lie. But I would love to re-sign the guy, but the problem is, you're looking at age-wise, it's time to start trying to get somebody to fill that void. Because at some point, he's going to have to retire and move on. And it's not good if we let Stefan De Vrij leave and then we don't re-sign Ranocchia. Now we got to get 2 center backs.
Yeah.
Or who do you shift to the middle? I'm not comfortable shifting Skriniar or Bastoni to the middle.
Not when they're the best in the league in their position.
Exactly. So, you know, I wouldn't shift. Even if somebody was to try and tell me shift Bastoni to the middle and move DeMarco out wide, I mean, I could see it. But if Bastoni's the best at that position, I would be comfortable keeping Ranocchia. But then it's still one of those things where we got to go and find an adequate replacement. Now, this goes into my whole next thing about I was having this conversation with my boy Liam, where he's like, yo, now that we made it to the next round, we should just tank and go for the league.
How does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? He's like, well, we're going to end up with someone like Man City or PSG, and we can't beat them. And I'm like, yo, bro, like, there's Inter fans that really think like this?
What are they going to get, first round draft pick?
No, bro, like, they're like, you know what? It makes more sense to go for the Scudetto because we're not going to go far in the Champions League.
No,
I'm like, bro, who's to say, though? It's all about the luck of the draw. I even fancy our chances against PSG, to be honest with you, because they're so undisciplined, you know?
Yeah. Mario, before we sidetrack into another topic, your thoughts on the De Vrij situation?
We missed him for, what, 2 more games?
Yeah. Maximum.
Yeah, I think having Ranocchia he's just been with the team for so long. He knows exactly what he's got to do. He's always been a good enough defender. I don't want to say he's been great because he's always been good enough. He was supposed to be better, whatever you want to say. But every time he stepped in as the replacement, he's been rock solid. He's never cost us points since Juan Jesus has destroyed his name.
Didn't I say that for the longest part? I used to get into arguments with people over this.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, wrong. I was like, no, bro. Even Mancini came out and said, JJ has left Ranocchia out to dry many times.
Remember that
Napoli game? It was Inter-Napoli. And Mancini said it at the end of the game. He said, you guys crucified Ranocchia on that goal. But where was Juan Jesus? He was still up there playing striker.
Yeah,
he was center back.
The one where he was the infamous mess up or whatever you want to call it. Juan Jesus literally ran from the center of defense to the sideline to chase down the ball. And Ranocchia was one-on-one, one-on-three or one-on-two, whatever it was.
One-on-two
at the top of the box.
Was it Insigne and Higuain or was it Insigne and what's the other dude? The other one that came from Madrid.
Callejon? No.
The other one from Madrid.
He's still there.
Wasn't it Llorente? No. Still there.
He's still there.
At Napoli?
Yeah. He's still there.
As an attacker?
Yeah.
Wow, not at the moment. I haven't got it at the moment. Not if he's still playing there.
I'll
go to a couple of comments.
Regardless, everyone said that Ranocchia was at fault, and I'm watching the video and I'm analyzing the shit out of it because I was like, there's no way that I'm like, why is there so much space between Ranocchia and the next defender? We have three defenders. We play a 3-5-2. This is under Mazzarri. Why is Ranocchia in the middle of the field by himself? Oh, it's Ranocchia's fault, this and that. I'm like, looking around, I'm like, Juan Jesus. So then I cycle back. Juan Jesus. Oh my God, what the hell is this guy doing on the right wing when he's supposed to be in the middle, playing left center back?
Santa Stama forever.
It's so stupid. And Ranocchia, he's just, the slander is just, it's so unwarranted. He's been a great good defender, I'll say, because I don't want to say great because they're going to crucify me. But he's been good, I think. And every time we've put him in as a sub, as a fill-in, top tier, never made a mistake. And I think we haven't let up a goal with him in defense in, I saw, 13 matches, I believe it was. Don't quote me on it, but it's something like that.
Sorry to Huyan, I actually haven't watched David Jonathan play like barely at all this season besides highlights, so I can't even comment on this center back. I'm sorry, man. What's going on to Mujtaza, who's in the chat? Ginter for free next summer. Wouldn't be bad. I'm a big fan of Serie A defenders being signed by Inter because Adjusting defensively to Serie A is the hardest adjustment you can make from coming overseas. Defenders, in my opinion, should always be sourced from Serie A, and he's definitely one of the better free agents coming up. I'm hoping for a really, really nice market with a couple of good free signings. Cheers, Matt. Forza Sydney FC. Huyan says, as long as we don't get Liverpool or City, Inter can take anyone. I would have to agree to that point. You know, City probably play the most dangerous attacking football in the world, whereas Liverpool, even if they're not firing in Premier League, this club in the Champions League just, you know, they've got something here. And it pains me to say because I hate Liverpool and I hate all their fans as well. Yeah, I hate them so much.
I actually think it'd be a good game between us and Liverpool. It could go either way.
I think we'd stand a good chance against them.
I think we could beat Liverpool. Yeah.
What about us again? What about up against Bayern?
Yo, so my thing about playing up against Bayern, we always know that for some weird reason, Inter versus Bayern, Inter always gets the better of them.
Yeah.
So I like our chances.
I don't know about that, bro.
Bro, look at the last few times we played.
I know that, but those are different times, man. Slightly different, but still.
I still like our chances.
Let's have a look.
Italians versus Germans. I'll take Italians all day.
Match day 5 is done and dusted. Forgive me because I've just gotten home from work. I know who won the games, but I don't even know the score, the goal scorers, or I haven't watched the highlights. Did Man City end up beating PSG today? Was it 2-1? 2-1. Yeah. Who scored the goals today? Do you guys know?
Gabi Jesus and...
Yep.
It was Sterling.
Who scored for Paris?
Mbappe.
Mistake, I think it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. RB's Leipzig pumped Bruges, but obviously they're going... one of these teams will have to settle for the Europa League. So with Man City wrapping up top spot, they're definitely a candidate for us. Liverpool top Group B, very comfortably, the most impressive of any side in the Champions League so far, with Porto, Milan and Atletico to grind it out for the next spot. Guys, what are we thinking of that group there? You think we could end up playing... Well, obviously, we could end up playing Liverpool, but who do you think is going to go through, Mario?
I think Porto goes through.
You think Porto beats Atletico on the last day?
Yeah.
It'll be a good game. I don't know, man. I feel like Simeone is starting to fade a little bit out of that gig. I feel like he might want a change of scenery soon.
I don't think Milan beats Liverpool.
No, I don't think so. Liverpool will play their B side, and like I appreciate Pioli's fight and the team's grit, but if they go for it and Milan really go for it, which they have to, Liverpool's just going to spread them on the break, man, surely.
That Milan's just not good enough, bro. Like, they've just been getting by pure luck, and I've been saying this for weeks now. Like, they're just lucky. But better be lucky than to be bad, I guess.
Yeah. Ajax, a very impressive Champions League campaign. They won again this morning, coming from behind to beat Besiktas. So we could take on Ajax in the next round, probably one of the more favorable sides, do you reckon? Because they'll probably come at us hard. You know, they play free-flowing attacking football no matter what the opponent. What are you saying about Ajax, Christian?
I don't know. I'd actually like that type of lineup. That matchup against us would actually fare pretty well.
It'd be a great tie. It really would be a great tie. Summing up our group, it's really, really nice. As you know, the general consensus in this chat is to go through the next round is the most important thing. But to do it with one game remaining is absolutely awesome. The final game of our campaign comes against Madrid at the Bernabeu. Mario, do we go for that top spot, man? Like, why not? I don't see why we don't put the best team forward and just really try to get it. I think that this Champions League campaign, there is a massive effing divide between the teams that you can play from finishing first and second. I swear I've seen it tighter in recent years. I reckon there's a big gulf of separation, man. It would really do well to come first.
Got to play to win. That's the only way to do it, especially when you need to, when you have a chance. There's no point to settle for it. Try to draw, try to play the backups. It's the Champions League. Play to win. You get more money if you finish in the top spot and winning. So there's really no benefit to not playing to win.
Yeah. Christian, before I go over to you, people saying that we could get Chelsea. Yeah, we probably will now because Juve absolutely bombed it. But that's another reason why we need to go for that win. If we can get that win, we take Group H out of the equation altogether. The draw becomes slightly more favorable. Christian, we got to go for the win in the last game. And follow-up question, I'm actually quite confident we can really make Madrid shit the bed at the Bernabeu. They played really well today away from home, as everyone needs to expect, because Real Madrid as a club cannot lose twice in the same Champions League campaign to Sheriff. They had to do this today just to get some pride back. And yeah. I was not worried at all about this fixture. But we got to go for this win at the Bernabeu, Christian.
Oh, no, dude. We have to get that done. Not just to pipe down all my coworkers and all, but it'd be nice to beat them just so we can finish top. And I'd rather play Sporting than to play some of these other teams.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Have you ever seen Barcelona creep through a Champions League like this? They've only scored two goals. They should have lost that game, man. I saw that miss on full time from Benfica. That was awful. Mario, did you catch that?
They scored two goals in five games.
They have scored two goals in five games, bro. Oh, they have been awful.
They suck, and I hope they lose.
I hope Barca gets City or Liverpool in the next round and goes out 10-0 on aggregate.
I hope they make it to Europa League.
That's still a possibility. What's wrong? What's wrong, Christian?
I want them to play us.
Well, if we finish top, yeah, we would bury this Barcelona team, bro. I have no doubt we could bury this Barca team.
This thing.
Yeah.
Is their last game against Kiev or is it against Bayern? Surely it's against Kiev.
Bayern.
No. Oh! They got to go to Munich on the last day. I'm guessing Benfica would be away to Kiev they're away today. So yeah. Benfica's home. Benfica is home on match day 6. So a win for Benfica and a defeat for Barcelona puts Benfica and Barcelona in the Europa.
I like it.
Listen. Barcelona's website was sitting there saying that Bayern's going to play the B team so they have a chance.
What the hell?
I don't think the B team will lose the Barcelona either.
The B team will still
stomp down Barcelona.
Yeah, horrible. If we were to get United, I would feel comfortable finishing second in the group to go and play that United side. Although just really can't count out Ronaldo dumping you out on his own just out of sheer opportunities. But Villarreal, and I don't know if you watched the Young Boys Atalanta game. Atalanta are just fire. Bottle jobs, man. What a game, though. Great goals.
Yeah, nice goals, but they suck.
Yeah, they do suck. In Europe, they suck.
They're such a letdown. I don't understand what the hell's going on with them.
Getting one of these teams, probably a little bit more ideal. But at the end of the day, there's no easy games. This has actually been a pretty good group. I speak about it a lot on Football Worldwide with Jono and Bruno. It's like the real group of death when you compare relative strength of the four clubs. It's actually quite entertaining, man. It's a really, really good group. And yesterday, we all saw the embarrassment that Juve put on. And it looks like that they might just relinquish top spot, providing Chelsea get the job done at home, which I actually think they will. What else can we say about the Champions League before we talk a tiny bit about Venezia? Anything you want to add, Christian?
Yeah, dude. I like I was telling you earlier, I hope people don't want to settle for less. Like, we need to advance to the next round. Yeah. We need to go guns blazing. I still think Scudetto 20 is coming anyways. I think we're going to get that second star. I think Milan's going to run out of luck anyways.
Yeah, fair enough.
Venezia, man. If you're not going to play to win. If you don't have the group wrapped up.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to the next few domestic fixtures because, I hate saying this, but, they're winnable games. And we've just come out of a really, really tough period domestically, man. We've had to play some really, really tough games as of late in very, very short time frames. I'm not saying we're special. Everybody plays the same sort of schedule at the moment. But, we had Juve, Milan and Napoli. And we came out of that without defeat, beating the league leaders and closing the gap at the top. Our next two games, Venezia and Spezia, it's got to be 6 points out of six. We start with a trip to Venice, and it's a good time to play them because they're a relegation-bound side that's just won two games in a row. There is no better time than for them to come up against a side about three or four tiers tougher than the last two teams that they beat. We should knock them on their perch comfortably. I don't want this game to drag out. I really think we should do something that we haven't done in a while, and that's grab an early goddamn goal and bury a game, okay? Mario, what are you saying about this game against Venezia coming up this weekend at the right time of 6:45 a.m. on a Sunday? I'm loving life. Perfect.
I think it's a good matchup for us. It's a little bit of a relief for the team, I guess you could say, after having, you know, a game against Shakhtar, which is always tough, that we have, and the Napoli game and the loss from the week before. So it'll be a nice little, not a tune-up match, but it'll keep our juices flowing. And, you know, I think maybe rotate the squad a little bit, but not enough. And I can see us winning like 2-3-0.
Before I go to Christian about Venice, because we haven't caught up since, what did you think of the Napoli game, man? I know you're always happy to beat Napoli. I'm always happy to beat Napoli. But, you know, it was a really, really good game, man. And how was your reaction to it? Yeah, you, Mario.
Mario, who else would you be talking to?
Oh, it's big time, you know. It's great seeing us beat Napoli, because then they could shut the hell up about it on their Twitter and thinking that they're some big team when they're just potential as hell. You know, I wear this. Why do you think I wore this? Because I'm celebrating. You know, it doesn't come better than this.
Did you see Spalletti not want to shake hands with the manager at the end of that game? What was that about, man? Well, I didn't watch the game. What was the precursor of that? I even looked at the time the goals were scored. I'm like, doesn't seem like anything controversial was happening here.
Nothing.
Did you
really
see it, Christian?
I didn't see anything that went on in the game.
I just saw him like shake his finger. Yeah, and the coach was like dumbfounded.
I really don't follow small teams like that. I follow Venezia and Sampdoria, but I don't follow small teams like Napoli.
Speaking of Venezia, Christian, how are we going to do it on Sunday?
Yo, bro, I think we get the dub 2-0, 2-0, 3-0. We pipe them, keep it moving. But just to put this out there, Milan's next few games, they got Sassuolo, Roma, Napoli coming up.
Wow.
So, not in that order, of course, but it's on their fixture list. So when I keep saying it's coming, the collapse is coming.
Yeah.
They already came for Napoli. They lost Osimhen. They lost Anguissa.
No, I was talking more for Milan. Milan's still got to play Napoli, Sassuolo, Roma, and Milan's luck is going to run out eventually. Right now, Napoli got Lazio this weekend, then they got Sassuolo, then they got Atalanta, then I think they got Empoli before they hit Milan.
Empoli's playing some good football as well.
Yeah, attractive.
We'll go on this comment before we wrap up. I hope Dumfries starting to worry Inzaghi is fading him always too early. Bro, to me, Damian looks like an energy little bunny that's just going to go. And I don't care what anybody says, man. I'm willing to sacrifice his end product, which is not even that bad, to be honest. He can score goals, but he is not afraid to attack. I'm not ready to call this guy a too defensive wing back. Like this guy can run. He's confident. Not only that, Mario, the way this guy can switch up to his left and just hold the ball up and wait for the midfield. Mm-hmm. It's like having a little cheat hack on the sideline in Matteo Darmian. The disrespect that this guy has gotten from the moment he's left Torino has just not been justified at all. And I've got to say this, man, Mancini, give him the call, bro. Do us a favor and take the guy to the national team. Let's not be stupid anymore.
He has to. I mean, he's really not a defensive winger. If you see the way he played, he's always in attacking positions in almost every attack that we have. He's in between the 18-yard box, the top of the 18, and 10 yards before and 10 yards after. So he's always receiving the balls in that area. It's not like he's playing next to Skriniar, who's, you know, basically a midfield. He's in that attacking position with Barella in between. So he actually, like, that whole situation that they got going on the right side, it makes a lot of sense even since last year. And Darmian, he's been freaking excellent. He does it all.
1.5 million, bro. 1.5 million.
He played for Palermo. What do you expect?
It's a steal, bro. It's one of our biggest steals I can remember as an Inter fan.
Like, we signed him to just kind of be Hakimi's understudy. Great. You know, we threw him in. He was okay, but then as he got going, and then when Hakimi would get hurt, he would step in, and you're like, damn, this guy can freaking play. He can do the job. And now we see him in attacking positions. He's creating. He's taking shots. He tried to score it right before Dzeko did today, we saw. But, you know, took the ball down nicely, waited for it on his left foot, took it too late. But, you know, it worked out. And like I said, he's in those attacking positions. It's not like he's just hanging back. He's a threat both sides. And Dumfries, not going to play. As long as Darmian's playing like this, Dumfries has absolutely no chance. Because you're not just going to say, oh, you know, let's give Dumfries a good run of games, 2-3 games to get him going. We paid for him. No, you got to win a freaking Scudetto. You're not playing people's feelings. You're not playing experiments. You're going to play what works. Darmian on the right side works. And as long as it works, don't change it.
Christian, yeah. Maybe we should all get a Matty Dumbs jersey and we'll tag the bloke in it because I don't reckon anybody buys his jersey. He'll reply to us, man. He'll be super excited. All three of us rock up in a backwards yes. Darmian jersey on here.
I'll do it. I don't care. You know me.
I need to get the third, man, because every time we play, I wasn't sold on it when I saw it, but then I saw it in the flesh and we're winning in it. And the badge, the Scudetto badge on that right-hand side, it's too much. I'm getting it soon. Yeah. So
Listen. Let me just throw this out there. I researched what you said about Napoli's Spalletti's refusal to shake the Spartak Moscow's coach. It's because allegedly Spalletti says at the beginning of the game he didn't want to shake Spalletti's hand. And he said, now you want to shake my hand at the end after you win. Okay. That's what it was.
That makes sense.
Fair enough. Akil says, did Brozovic get an extension? Do you guys, it's best to keep him or move him on? I think it's best to keep him, and I think Marotta's saying the right things. I think that extension comes pretty soon because, to be honest, why would Brozovic want to leave at the moment? I mean, the guy loves the team. He's got a kid and a wife, and all his friends are at this club. He's someone that has withstood the test of time and actually came out to be a little bit of a knight in the whole Icardi saga that we remember as well. So he's proven his time. He's done his time. Brozovic needs to stay. Christian?
Yo, not just that. One quick thing about the whole Darmian comment. Mm. Remember, D'Ambrosio even put Dumfries on the bench because they subbed him on before Dumfries. Yep. So I'm just throwing that out there. Another one to the count. That's the body enough. Count.
You know how that the meme of the Grim Reaper keeps coming out.
Another one to the.
I saw it on Twitter again last when he did bench Dumfries. And someone commented, and someone innocent who probably hasn't seen the meme many times was like, you've forgotten a fair few. And I commented underneath, I'm like, bro, they've had to redo this meme at least three times now. It's not a few. We're into like 7 or 8 now, man. Like, we've got to cut names left, right, and center. There ain't enough doors in that photo.
Oh, man. That's great. We're getting Darmian.
Did you find out that not that player that you thought was still playing for Napoli that came from Madrid or not?
Yo, I honestly didn't look at that once. I thought you were
talking about Cavani for a second.
No. What's in Madrid? Name Napoli players, Mario.
You're talking about an attacker. They don't have any attackers besides Insigne and Osimhen.
Mertens, Osimhen, Petagna. They had Callejon, but...
Callejon, that's who I was thinking of.
I said him like 3 times.
Mario said that 3 times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's Mario. I don't listen to Happy Days.
Oh, man. Yeah, show Brozo the money. Hey, boys, lots of love from Melbourne. Good to see you, my Australian brother.
That's pretty... also a vice captain.
So, we doing it?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to wait till, like, when I do my Christmas shopping in about a week.
I'll do it now. I don't care.
Sweet. I'll get Darmian. If you get it, I'll get it, bro.
Well, this will be the second jersey we match on. Mario didn't get the Campioni one. He faked on us.
Yeah, he did.
I guess I got it.
Yeah. Callejon went to Fiorentina in 2020. Thanks, bro.
Ah, okay.
Good stuff. Last question, last topic. How does Gagliardini still find minutes to play for Inter after 3 different managers? Because there needs to be a physical body to get in the way of teams who are trying to break our midfield. We get it. He's not great with the ball. We get it. But this is the reason why you keep a player like Gagliardini for these minutes and these minutes only. If we were asking him to do more than this, I would get it. But trust me, man, I haven't played the game enough to make an accurate comment on this. I'm sure Mario Christian could play it more. A body that big and physical in midfield when the team is trying to chase the game down, all it does is break the wall and disrupt the team pressing forward, right?
Yo, it even disrupts your own team.
Yeah. He disrupts everybody. The coach thing is, he'll go and start tackling him.
It's just a pain in the cooler, like, to make sure the result stays the same and nothing in the game can change.
You literally threw me the alley-oop. How did you not expect him to make that
comment? He hasn't been bad this year under
Inzaghi. He has. He's been good.
He's because Inzaghi wanted him at Lazio a couple of years back. Yeah. So when you have a player like him who just works hard and can defend in the midfield, you know, it's not that bad. And he's come clutch. He's scored a couple of good goals for us. So, I mean, he's not the worst player to have. I mean, yeah, he's had his moments like Ranocchia, but, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he hasn't been that bad.
As we said many times, bro, add him to the list of players that loves the badge and is just willing to give 110% whenever he's called upon. No complaints, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, he's fine in my book. I have no problems with him.
I got a Gagliardini jersey, so I'm obviously going to say he's fine. Let me guess.
I bet it's the second season under Spalletti.
First one.
Really? What, the home one?
Yeah.
The so like where the stripes was like the thick stripe and then the really thin one next to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. That was one of my favorite. No, I believe you. I can't wear that one anymore because it has a certain someone on the back. But every time I see the front of it.
Who's on the back?
Oh, you know who's on the back. Did you never get one of Icardi's jerseys?
No.
You never did you? Fair enough. Look at you all high and mighty on your horse, like you're better
Inter fans than I am. Yeah, I am better than everybody. I said that. Shit. I said with Mario. Mario and me said it from the beginning that we didn't like this guy.
From the season I saw him. I said at first it was, I don't really know about this guy. There's something I don't like about how he plays. It was
the game against Sampdoria where he gloated to the crowd after he scored the two goals, wasn't it, bro? Because even I watched that, like, I'm like, this guy's got a fucking toot on him.
No, it had nothing to do with his personality. It was strictly how he played on the field. I'm like,
just didn't like him.
I don't care. The whole Wanda, the whole Sampdoria, that thing is secondary. That is not the reason why I dislike the guy. When I watch this guy play, I said, I don't like how this guy plays at this level. If you tell me this guy is going to start for Bologna, for, Cesena, for Ascoli, for one of those smaller teams who just needs to steal points, I say, this is the freaking guy. You need him on the field at all times because he's going to steal goals. He's going to steal points. And he might even pull a Luca Toni and become a top goal scorer with freaking
Verona.
Perfectly fine with me. If we were in that boat, they're completely different mindset. But when you're in Inter and your aspiration is to win the league, to, you know, be in the mix for Champions League, and you have this guy who disrupts the flow on the field, it just doesn't belong. And when everyone's playing and putting playing a certain style, they're moving the ball in a certain way, and then the striker's just missing, waiting. They put in a million crosses, and then you say, we have such technical players and players that can score. You had Brozovic, you had Perisic, you had Kandreva, you had Banega, you had, all these players. Yeah. We had Cancelo, we had
Yaich was dope as well under
Mesut. Yeah, I was going to say, Yaich was awesome.
You had all these players around him, and you're saying, no, they're not good players. No, they're the problem. But then when Icardi's off the field and the team's winning 2-3-0, putting teams to sleep. Oh no, it's just body. No, it's just Cesena. It's just Siena. It's whoever. Don't give me that, because when he's on the field against those small teams, we still struggle to win. Or he scores a hat trick and we. But you know, like what?
It's all good, bro. It's over. The guy can't play for a second division parasite at the moment. We all see his personal life, and it's over. He's never coming back to disturb the
club. I just know I didn't get his jersey. But I do have the Bama signature right there.
Yeah, that's all we've got time for on Inter Worldwide. I'll sort you out off cam. No, all good. It's just one mistake, bro. There could have been worse. There could have been other mistakes. I remember I had the Raja jersey in my cart. Now, that wouldn't have been as bad, but that's a mistake I almost made. You have the Raja jersey? Yeah, I had it in my cart, and I didn't. Oh, did you get my gone?
I would buy one right now. Are you kidding me?
An Inter Nainggolan jersey?
You joking?
No chance, bro.
What?
No chance. See, at least I'll make the mistakes before I've been hurt. You guys get hurt and then just keep going.
I'm a self-masochist.
Listen, bro. I got Ranocchia, I got D'Ambrosio. I got Gagliardini. I had, because I don't know where it's at. I think an ex of mine might have taken a Hernani's jersey. Let's see, who else do I have?
I was hyped about that signing when it happened. I'm not going to lie. I was very hyped about it.
It was a good signing in theory. Decent but again, Icardi happened.
Oh, I got a Jovicic jersey. Who else? A Banega jersey.
Should have done more with him, man. I had a Banega jersey.
I was a Banega fan forever.
You get rid of a player like Banega for Icardi.
They used to. Excuse the language I'm going to say right now, but every time we play, one of my boys, he always had a Banega jersey, and they're like, "Yo, forever, my name."
with Banega, but he was a book thing, Mario. The same way we did with Shaqiri, we got him dirt cheap. He was purely for plus Valenza. You got the Shaqiri jersey as well. The black one with the blue pinstripes.
No. That's the Hernani's one. I got the third kit from that year, the neon blue one.
Oh yeah, the neon blue one's nice. Yeah.
Ooh, I got João Mario as well on the Sprite jersey.
Yeah, Mario knows that's a joke, bro. That's a bad one.
I'm dead serious. You want me to get it? It's on the Sprite jersey.
Oh, trust me, I believe you, bro.
Want to know the real reason I got the jersey? True story.
This is good content, man.
True story. Do you want to know the real reason I got the jersey?
For my name.
John Mario. Yeah. Literally, it was because it had Mario on the back.
Yo, just don't put the J on, just put Mario.
No, it came with the J, but I got it. I was like, yo, this one's funny. I was like, I'm going to get it to support Mario. I'm telling you, buddy.
which kits did you guys get for this season? You got the home one with the Campione, yeah, Christian? Yeah. Did you get the away?
I need to get the away in the third. So I've been waiting for Stonker.com to have the away with the player's name on it, but they didn't get it. So now I'm just going to order it through Inter.
So you're like kind of like me. I was looking for other outlets because I didn't want to give Interstore any more money after they did the little shifting on us in the offseason.
It wasn't that. It's just the shipping, bro. Unless I get to the 150, then it's free shipping. But then it's like, yo, I got to get up to 150. But I got to keep it under 200 euros or else you're going to get a customs bill.
How much do you guys pay for shipping from Italy to the States?
21.
Euros.
Euros.
We only pay it's still a lot, but we pay like 23 euro. It should be way more. Like you guys are getting gypped hard with 21 euro shipping fee.
It depends, but it's 21 euros and it gets here in 2 days.
Yeah,
sure. Mine gets here in about 2 weeks, unless I pay even more.
Christ, yeah.
10 days to 2 weeks, maybe.
Nah,
it's bad, right? That's why I don't order stuff from overseas often, unless it's an Inter jersey, pretty much. Like, I'd never order stuff from overseas to Australia.
I got soccer.com and with the gold club, so it's like $110 for the patches, the Champions League patches, the Scudetto badge, and the name on the back for $110.
That's good value.
You ever get one of those the Vapor Mitt kits?
They have them there too. It's like 130.
You ever buy one?
No. I did. That's another shame. It was the Icardi one, bro. And it was the most comfortable one that I was ever wearing. It was a birthday gift from my missus. But, like, it's a lot more money, man. Like, you're looking at an extra $60 for this top.
Yeah, good for starting 160 without anything, I think.
I enjoyed it because it was at a time when I was teaching at this school where I was playing, like, 5 games of court soccer a day, court football a day. And it was just really, really fun, man. So if you're gonna run around in them, they're actually really light.
No,
really
I don't play in my jerseys.
I got an official match-worn jersey for Freddy Guarín against Napoli 2013 and 14 where we had the midnight navy blue jersey. Yeah, I got that one. It was match worn by Guarín, and I got like over 30 signatures on it.
How'd you get that one? That's a real good one, man.
Because I have people at Inter that hooked me up.
That's nice. Where's that one stored? Somewhere?
Oh, I have it over there because I was like, yo, I should still get more signatures on it. But I got Zanetti, I got Zorkov, I got Handanovic, Ranocchia, Icardi, Felipe Melo.
Time to put that in a frame, bro.
It's funny because I had a list of everybody on it, and then I had on there parentheses Primavera Scrub 1, Primavera Scrub 2, Primavera Scrub 3. Because it was, remember Mario, when they came to New York?
Yes.
I went up to New York And my boy grabbed my jersey. He was just handing it around, getting people to sign it. Oh, he just got hired as a at another place. See, I'll tell you off camera. But what's it called? He was just getting people to sign it for me. He got Kondogbia to sign it for me, Candreva. So, like, I got all these players, Perisic, all these players on it. And I'm just like, yo, I need to frame this. But I'm like, yo, I low-key want to get more signatures on it. And he was also the one that hooked that up for me because, you know, Melito's my boy.
The best one. So
he got him to personalize it to me.
Nice one, bro. That's going to be it. We're going to wrap this up. It's been a nice little last 10 minutes talking jerseys and all the other smack. And I hope everybody enjoyed listening to the podcast as much as we did recording it. So thank you so much to one Luca Di Mario, a very, very reliable source for all of your breaking transfer news. Thanks for joining us again on Inter Worldwide, man.
Thank you. Yeah, follow me at Gianluca Di Mario. I got all the breaking transfer and signings and everything across the Serie A. It's up and coming account. You know, like I got you this. Nobody's seen this one before. So today, what's his name? Diego Demme from Napoli tested negative from COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. No, what happens? Lobotka finishes the game, goes to the cameras and says, hey, he has to get another test because I want to play. Yeah, that's what Sky Sports will tell you, but I got yeah.
This guy, man. It's a good account. I've got to ask you a question about that account off camera when we wrap it up. Thank you so much, Nostradamus, Christian Rivas, for always bringing your smile and your optimism, man. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to do this again in the round
Happy
of 16.
Happy Thanksgiving to my fellow Americans.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, boys. Yeah. Appreciate
we
it.
We celebrate raping and pillaging.
You guys appreciate it. Appreciate the day. Appreciate the family. Thank you to everyone who tuned into Inter Worldwide. Forza Inter. Ciao, ragazzi.
Bye-bye.